All right, we are coming to the end of our series. We're not quite there yet. Maybe one or two more messages on wisdom. I believe, if I've got this right, this is will be the sixth message on wisdom. We began with a message entitled, The Need for Wisdom. We preached a message entitled, What is Wisdom? Another one, Why is Wisdom Crying? Another one, The Choice for Wisdom. Last week, we spoke on a message entitled, The Blessing of Wisdom. And tonight, I want to preach a message entitled, What Wisdom Can Do for You. What wisdom can do for you. Pick up, if you would, in verse number 1 of chapter 8 in the book of Proverbs. Solomon writing here, and he says, Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She, wisdom, standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, there's where I get my title from, What Wisdom Can Do for You. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Now we have taken as our series text, chapter 4, verses 1 to 9, speaking of the blessing of wisdom, the command in verse number 5 to get wisdom, we get understanding, forget it not. Verse number 7 of chapter 4, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. We've been looking at the importance of wisdom in our lives. Last week I gave you an illustration on knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, and how that we receive knowledge out of the mouth of God, the Word of God. How we know the position of wisdom is an obedience to that knowledge. And we said that understanding is the way that we appropriate knowledge so it can be wisdom. We used an illustration of somebody telling their child, don't touch the stove, it's hot. The child has knowledge that the stove is hot. The parent is going to go and do something in the other room, and the child now has to use its understanding. So if it touches the stove and it pulls back, it realizes the stove is hot. Now the child not only has knowledge, the child has understanding. That the understanding is that is a hot stove and they are burned. Wisdom is the child having another opportunity by themselves with another hot stove, not touching the stove because they don't want to get hurt. So the position of wisdom is I want to be safe. I don't want to be hurt. I don't want to have that in my life. And there's a position of obedience. Knowledge is that thing can hurt you. How you get from knowledge to the position of wisdom depends on your understanding. What do you do with that knowledge? How do you appropriate that knowledge? And so the true biblical understanding is if knowledge comes out of the mouth of God, we know knowledge to be the Word of God, and we can always trust the Word of God. Amen. So my understanding is I don't need experience to tell me or to validate knowledge so then I have wisdom. I have already applied my heart to understanding, so my understanding is going to believe the knowledge of God's Word because it is God's Word. I don't really need experiential knowledge or understanding. I've got understanding by faith. I've got understanding in my heart. So then I'm able to take the knowledge of God's Word, appropriate it through faith and trust and belief, and therefore I'm able to come out in a position of wisdom. And so we have seen that many folks take knowledge and then we try to apply our own understanding. And so we don't necessarily, we take our understanding and we exalt our understanding above the knowledge. And so, yeah, I may know this is hot, but I don't know how hot it is and how fast can I touch it and this and that. So I devalue knowledge and I exalt my own understanding. That's why Solomon told his son, lean not to thine what class? Own understanding. And so many of the times we do that and we get not understanding. But the problem is getting understanding also sometimes comes with a burn. And so there's been many times in our lives when we have exalted our own understanding above knowledge And areas of our lives have been burned. Our relationships have been burned. Our marriages have been burned. Our home has been burned. Our mind has been burned. Our imagination has been burned. Our whatever has been burned. And the whole time we were exalting our understanding, we were not able to find what true wisdom is. See, true wisdom is having the knowledge and the fear of the Lord so relevant in my life that I have a love for truth and righteousness and a hatred for evil. And so I don't necessarily need experiential understanding in that knowledge. I'm able to appropriate knowledge by faith, therefore have wisdom. And so it's a blessing along those lines. Now, Solomon in chapter number 8 is writing to his son, and he's going to teach his boy what wisdom can do for him, how important it is to have wisdom and the value of wisdom and what it will do. And if you look in verse number 6, the first thing you're going to find that wisdom is going to be able to do is it says here, "For I will speak of excellent things." The first thing wisdom can do for you is wisdom will give you words you can trust. Words you can trust. Now, this is important, and you can't lose the context or you'll lose the message. Solomon is concerned for his boy. He's wanting his boy to be on the right path. The word path is important in Proverbs. Anytime you see the word path or paths, you ought to highlight it, underline it, circle it every time. And so he understands that there's sinners out there that will entice my boy, and I don't want him to suffer. I want him to walk on the right path. And so he's concerned that he walks in that path of wisdom. And he's been measuring to him and teaching him the blessing of wisdom and all of this. But now he wants to teach him what wisdom can do for you. And the first thing he says that wisdom can do for you is wisdom will give you words and a direction that you can trust. Now, this will make perfect sense to you when you come to chapter number 7. Come back over here to chapter 7. And I want to show you something. My son, verse 1, keep my words and lay them up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. Call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the, what's the next two words? Strange woman. All right. This is one of the great passages on the adulterous woman, on the trap of adultery, on the road to perdition and destruction. Now, Solomon in chapter number 7 is going to warn his son about an immoral woman. Now, you got to read chapter 7 very carefully or you're going to miss the joy of chapter 8. Verse number 5. That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger with which flattereth with her, say it, words. Now he tells a story. He's warning his son about this immoral, adulterous, aggressive woman who is out to commit this horrific sin. And Solomon knows that his boy is going to be susceptible to words. Now he tells his boy a story. Verse 6. For I, at the window of my house, I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. Now, her is the strange woman. And he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Now, parents, you ought to pay close attention to the surroundings of this boy. You ought to pay close attention to what's happening. All of us need to pay close attention to what's happening. It's in the evening, it's in the black, it's in the dark night. This guy's out walking the streets. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. By the way, that is a description of the attitude of a woman who's a harlot. Please do not let your daughters have the personality of loudness. Not necessarily their vocal cords, but sometimes you can meet a woman and she just consumes a room. Everything she says is loud. Everything that she does draws attention. There's no discretion in her personality. There's no discretion in what she will talk about. She is absolutely loud and everything is about her. Whenever I see a woman like that, I'm always reminded that Solomon described that as a harlot practicality. Verse number 11. She's loud, she's stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. This woman does not want to stay home. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth at wait at every corner. So she caught him. Now this is that simple boy that was walking through, void of understanding, and kissed him. We used to say, that girl or that boy is forward. Does anybody know what I mean if we say somebody is forward? Everybody over 40. Forward. Aggressive. Without hesitation. She catches this guy who's a stranger. She's dressed like a harlot. She's loud. She's stubborn. She grabs him. First thing she does is she embraces him and kisses him. Could I just teach you something my dad taught me? I think every parent ought to know. Every parent ought to understand that if your child is in some kind of relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend, or whatever, would you understand that what they do in public, they're probably doing twice as much in private? Would you understand that? I'll never forget that. My dad taught me that. He said, now, son, I'm not going to let you do certain things. And he said, because I know what you do in public, you'll do twice as much in private. I think he knew that because he did that, but don't let him hear that part about that. But, Pastor, we let our kids, you know, they can do certain things around us. Okay, but they're doing double that in private. You're welcome. So she caught him, and she kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face. She's a liar. And I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love. It's not love, it was lust. Until the morning. Let us solace ourselves. Let us delight ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. So you got a woman who doesn't want to be in her house, and you got a man who's never home. I hope that's not your home. He is gone on a long journey. Now look what the man likes. He hath taken a bag of what, class? Money. And will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. It's interesting. Don't you remember Joseph and Potiphar's wife? She kept with her speech, with her speech, with her speech. But he never yielded because he feared God. This simple guy here, he gave into this woman's words. If you went back into verse number 5, she flattereth with her words. And now she's flattering her. She's with her much fair speech. She's caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Let me just say something. I'm pricked to say, men. God gave you a wife for a lot of reasons. And I think one of the most precious reasons that God has given a man a wife is to protect him. If your wife comes to you and says, I didn't like the way that woman talked to you, you need to be aware of that. If your wife comes to you and says, you know, that woman just gives me the creeps when she's around you. Or those where, you know, she said something and that was kind of forward. That was kind of, I don't know that I appreciated her seeing that. Especially if you have a opportunity for that, you need to pay attention to what your wife is saying to you. And the lady said, amen. Okay. I know. Here we go. Why? Because men are capable of being overwhelmed with the flattery of speech. Now, ladies, you better learn to praise your man with words. You better learn to praise him with words. Words are effective on a man. With her much fair speech, verse 21, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the what, class? Slaughter. Or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver. As a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth that it is not for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children. Attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. This is the strange woman. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many, what's that word? Strong men have been slain by her. Verse 27. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. All right. So Solomon has just taken chapter 7, and he's just told his boy about being careful of a woman who is able to take her words and position herself in position him in a position of vulnerability. And he uses the word forcing him with words. And he's saying, you cannot trust the words of a strange woman. Chapter 8, but you can trust the words of Christ, for Christ is made unto us wisdom. So he's getting his son to understand. Now, you can't trust this, but here's what wisdom will do for you. Wisdom will give you words you can trust. And then if you look at verses 6 to 9... There's five adjectives here that are used for these words of trust that wisdom will give. He says here, for I will speak of excellent things. So the words of wisdom, they're excellent words. That word excellent is the word like a captain or a ruler. I mean, these are words that have authority. These are words that are excelled by nothing else. And we know wisdom to be Christ. Christ is the Word of God. And he's saying, I will speak of words that there's nothing more supreme. You can trust the words of wisdom. The opening of my lips shall be right things. So you have excellent things and you have the adjective of right things. Right means straight. These are straight words. It carries with it the word of direct. You could use the word correct. Wisdom, I'll tell you what wisdom will do for you. It will give you straight words, it will give you direct words, and it will give you correct words. Verse number 7. For my mouth shall speak, what's that adjective? Truth. So they're true words. Look, if you word, he keeps going. And wickedness is an abomination to my lips. So there's no lying in wisdom. There's no error in wisdom. There's no wickedness in those words. They are the words of truth. Verse 8, all the words of my mouth, that's all the words of wisdom, are in righteousness. That means they line up with the character of Christ. They have the nature of God. They're right words. And he said, there is nothing froward. Oh, there's our word. Crooked or perverse in them. He goes on to say, they are all, what's the next word? Plain. To him that understandeth. to him that understandeth, to him that understandeth. Let me give you a verse you ought to write down right beside there, a reference. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14. Can I read that verse to you? Just so you might know it, but I'm going to go ahead and read it. Here's what it says. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man is an unsaved man. An unsaved man cannot receive the words of the Spirit of God. He can receive the gospel. He can understand himself to be a sinner. He can have a desire to repent. But the truths of God's word, an unsaved man cannot receive. If you go down here in verse number 9, they are all plain to him that understandeth. What is he saying? He's saying to the saved man, to a man who knows wisdom, who knows Christ, the word of God will be plain. It will be clear. It will be open. It will be right to them that find knowledge. And so you take somebody and they don't want the word of God, and there's no clarity in the word of God. There's no openness in the word of God. There's no desire to know that. That's probably an unsaved person. And so Solomon is trying to teach. He's got this strange woman and she's flattering with her lips, but man, her path is hell, and nobody's ever come back from that. Then he contrasts with this the lady of wisdom, and her words, you can trust her words, and they're wonderful words, and these are words that will bless you and keep you. So he's trying to teach his child to pay attention to words. By the way, we all should pay attention to the word of God. He's teaching them that. Not only does she give her words that she can that he can trust, if you go to verse number 10, he's going to give him wealth that he can trust. Verse number 10 begins, receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Son, there's nothing more valuable than wisdom. There's no more gold, there's no more silver, there's no more rubies. Nothing can be compared with wisdom. It's wealth that you can trust. It's wealth that will bless you. And then he goes on, wisdom begins to describe her wealth. Look, if you would, in verse number 12. And there's a whole list of things that are wealthy. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, with understanding, that is, with discretion, that is. There's prudence is wisdom. And find out knowledge. Knowledge is wealth. Knowledge of witty inventions. All right. So wisdom says that I'm going to give you prudence. I'm going to help you with knowledge, and I'm going to help you to understand witty inventions. That talks about having discretion. And Solomon says, listen, above gold and above silver and above rubies should be valued prudence, knowledge, and discretion. How many rich fools have we seen? Where did we get the word rich fool? The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Another wealth he's trying to teach his boy is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And arrogancy, humility is a wealth that wisdom will bring. And the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. So one of the wealth of wisdom is goodly or godly speech. Counsel is mine. There's sound wisdom here. There's wise counsel is wisdom. Sound wisdom. That's understanding. I am understanding. I have strength. How much is strength for that? And guidance when it comes on our way. Verse 15, he says, by me kings reign. That's talking about wisdom. And princes decree justice. By me, wisdom says, princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me shall find me. Look at verse 18. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, what's that word? Durable riches and righteousness. How many people have sold themselves for non-durable riches? How many people have made decisions for the moment how many people have thrown away God's wisdom and exalted their own understanding and searched for what they thought to be riches and found them not to endure. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, wisdom says, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. Now look at verse number 21. That I may cause those that love me to inherit, what's that word? Substance. He said, now listen, and I will fill their treasures. Not all of the wealth of wisdom is just spiritual wisdom, or spiritual wealth. There's also physical wealth. There's also blessings. And so Solomon is teaching his boy what wisdom can do for you. Wisdom will give you words you can trust. It will give you wealth that you can trust. Now, he's taught his boy how he is to secure this wealth. Look, if you would, at verse number 6. If wisdom is going to give you words that you can trust and you're going to enjoy this wealth, then how you appropriate this is important. The first thing you got to do is found in verse number 6. Hear the word. Bible says, be not hearers of the word only, but doers of the word. But they got to hear the word, pay attention to the word, listen to the word, study the word. How are we going to secure the wealth that wisdom has? We have to have ears to hear. By the way, let me say this. Your child will never value the word of God more than you value the word of God. Your child is never going to want to hear the word of God unless dad and mom are going to want to hear the word of God. And so Solomon says, now, son, hear the word. That will enable you to know the wealth of this. Look at verse number 10. Not only do you hear it, but receive. We've talked a lot about reception. Receive my instruction. Don't receive silver and gold and all of that. Receive my instruction. Pocket it. Take it to heart. Understand it. Value it. Receive instruction. So I have to hear the word and I have to receive instruction. Look at verse number 17. I love them that love me. And so Solomon's teaching his son. Now, if you want what wisdom can do for you, then you got to love wisdom. Wisdom will love you back. Don't you appreciate being loved back? Nobody likes to be in a relationship where love is only one way. And Solomon, the wisdom says, I love them that love me. If you will love wisdom, she will love you. By the way, I promise you this, the woman of chapter 7 didn't love his son. She didn't love his son, but wisdom will. I love them that love me. Look, if you would, at verse number 21. He talks about filling their treasures. I may cause those who love me to inherit substance. I will fill their treasures. I'm sorry, verse number 17. I love them that love me and those that seek me early. So not only do you hear the word, not only do you receive instruction, not only do you love truth, but you got to seek the Lord. This is the Old Testament's Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so Solomon says, now listen, here's what wisdom can do for you. She'll give you words you can trust. She will give you wealth that you can trust. And the way that you take those words and you appropriate to having that wealth is you hear the word, you receive the word, you love wisdom, and you seek for it. You make it a priority in your life. And in wisdom, in verses 22 through the end of the chapter, begins to define herself and to show her worth. Now in chapter 8, verses 22 to the end of the chapter, some people think this is talking about Christ and wisdom personified. Some people don't. I tend to think that you will find a lot of direction here in understanding and agreement with the Lord. Look how wisdom defines itself in verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways. Even Jehovah used wisdom before his works of old. She's valuable. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. when he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. And now wisdom takes over, and wisdom is declaring her faithfulness. She's declaring her presence. She's declaring how her involvement. She's declaring how God had possessed her and used that wisdom. And she is tremendously, tremendously valuable. Here's the last question, and I'm done. The question is, what can wisdom do for you? She'll give you words you can trust. She'll give you wealth that you can trust. You can trust that wealth because she's worthy to give that wealth. And then the fourth thing is, what do you want? What do you want? Let me tell you this. She said, I love them that love me. You got to want wisdom. If you don't seek after wisdom, wisdom is not going to just find you. Many of God's people don't seek after wisdom. Look, if you would, in verse number 32. Now, therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, speaking of wisdom, watching daily at my gates. He is vigilantly and looking for wisdom. He's concentrated daily looking for wisdom. He cannot afford to go one day without wisdom. Let me tell you a story today and I'll go on. I almost killed a man today. And never in my life have I come closer to killing a man than I came today. And for probably the second time in my life, I have been reminded of providential hand of God in my life. Both of them had to do with a vehicle. One time I backed up out of my driveway and my son was laying in the ditch behind me playing army and I didn't know he was back there. I missed him by a little bit. I remember stopping the truck, getting out of the truck and praising God that I didn't kill my son. I was going up 118th Avenue today, and it was about 8 o'clock, and I was headed to the dry cleaners because I have like 50 dress shirts, and they were all in the cleaners at one time. I had to go get them. The sun was coming out of the east bright, and I was going to make a right-hand turn. Somehow I pulled up to that light, and I looked left, but I never looked right. And I hit the gas. And I heard something in the front of my car, and it was a man maybe 50 years of age, and he's banging on the hood of my car. And he was upset. He had every right to be upset. He started screaming at me. He walked to my driver's side window. He took his fist, and as hard as he could, he punched my window, screaming at me. I don't know how he didn't break my window. I have no idea. He said, you didn't look, you almost killed me. I was so, my adrenaline or something just went off like crazy. And I knew I was wrong. I never saw him. How'd he get in front of my car? He's banging on my window. I rolled the window down. He's screaming at me, how did you not do this, whatever. I said, sir, are you okay? I said, it is my fault. I did not see you. And finally, after a few minutes, he calmed down and he looked at me and he said, I apologize to you. You know how cars are coming and you got to gun it to get out? Now, none of you gun it, but your pastor sometimes has to gun it. If I would have gunned it, I'd have killed him. I'd have run him over dead. I shook so bad. I got to Best Buy and I pulled into Best Buy and there's nobody at Best Buy at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I just sat in my car, and I'm shaking. I'm thinking, my life could have been so different. In that moment, if God would have allowed me to run that man over and kill him, And I just lifted up my hands and I said, God, thank you for watching over me. And I was reminded that we need our God every moment of our lives. Solomon comes down here to his boy and he says, wisdom, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily, daily, daily. You know, I drove a little bit around the city today. I stopped at every red light. I almost didn't even want to drive. I stopped at every stop sign. I never stop at the stop sign on 118th Avenue. I kind of roll through it. I stopped. They used to teach us, look left, look right, and look left. Do you know what I did all day? I look left, I look right, and I look left. Every single stop. And it's that same kind of intensity that you and I need every morning. We don't need to look left, and we don't need to look right. We need to get on our knees, and we need to look up and say, I need wisdom today. At every function and every faction of my life, I need wisdom today. Spirit of God, I yield myself. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Lead me in the way. And God's people said. Amen. He goes on, he says, waiting at the post of my doors. Verse 35, wisdom says, for whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me, wrongeth, finish those three words, his own soul. All they that hate me, love, death. Can you imagine? Get this. This is a dad under the inspiration of the Spirit talking to his boy. He's got a strange woman that flattereth with her words. Her path leads to death and hell. He's exalting the woman of wisdom. He says, now son, this is what she can do for you. She'll give you words that you can trust. She will give you wealth that you can trust. She can give that because of her worth. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? So your preacher asks you tonight, what are you going to do? You going to live a life with your own understanding and be reckless? Or are you going to live a life under the authority of the wisdom of God? Shall we pray?